Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Federated National Holding Company First Quarter 2013 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. Statements in this conference call that are not historical fact are forward-looking statements. Without limiting the generality of the foregoing words such as anticipate, believe, budget, contemplate, continue, could, envision, estimate, expect, guidance, indicate, intend, may, might, plan, possibly, potential, predict, probably, pro forma, project, seek, should, target, or will, or the negative thereof, or other variations thereon, and similar words or phrases or comparable terminology are intended to identify forward-looking statements. These matters discussed on this call that are forward-looking statements are based on current management expectations involving risks and uncertainties that may result in these expectations not being realized. Actual events, outcomes, and results may differ materially from those from what is expressed or forecasted in forward-looking statements made on this call due to numerous risks and uncertainties, including but not limited to the risks and uncertainties described in this conference call, our press release issued today, and other filings made by the company with the SEC from time to time. Forward-looking statements made during this presentation speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Federated National Holding Company specifically disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement to reflect new information, future events or circumstances, or otherwise. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Mike Braun, CEO and President. Sir, you may begin.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us to discuss Federated National Holding Company's first quarter 2013 financial results. I'm joined on the call by Pete Brzozowski, our Chief Financial Officer. Our financial results for the quarter can be found in our earnings press release. I'll go over some brief highlights from the quarter, and then Pete and I will open up the line for questions. Highlights, as measured against the same three-month period last year, include 123% increase in earnings per share, 48% increase in revenue, 47% increase in gross premium written, 47% increase in net premium earned, 41% growth in homeowner policy count to approximately 67,000 policies, 13% growth in book value. Our approach to growing the top line has revolved around disciplined underwriting and sound risk management, techniques that will allow us to grow our book of business significantly throughout 2013. During the first quarter, we improved our operational efficiency by reducing operating costs by 10% as a percentage of revenue as measured against the same three-month period last year. Managing our business in the most cost-effective and efficient manner is very much a cornerstone of our company's culture. The increase in policy count and the profitability of those policies reflect the continued expansion and quality of our product distribution channels. We are pleased with the first quarter's results, and the underlying key performance metrics indicate sustained quality growth in future quarters. With that, we're glad to open up the call to your questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have questions at this time, please press star then one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone telephone. Our first question is from William Myers of Miller Assets. Your question, please.
Good afternoon, William.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Pete. Great quarter. And really a great turnaround of these last couple of years. Just a couple of items, if I can find them again on the press release, your unpaid loss and lost adjustment expense line, I believe, went down both year over year and quarter to quarter. Is there anything significant you want to tell us about that?
Well, what we do is we have an independent actuarial review as well as internal reviews that we do. And basically, that's done on a both quarterly and an annual basis, how we adjust and look at our reserves. And I think you're looking at a better quality book of business. Our reserves over the last couple of years have gone down, and it's just really a testament to good underwriting. I think we do a very good job with our risk management as well as our claims handling. So I think things have trended favorably, and we're very comfortable with where our reserves are.
Okay, and then could you give us a little bit more color on to what extent you can see expansion? Are you in a situation where you can write? I mean, that's a tremendous growth rate for the number of policies. How does that look in the foreseeable future?
Sure. The last couple of calls I spoke about new business that we're writing, and that continues to increase. We started with Allstate in the last 90 days. Last week, we wrote $3.5 million of new business alone on homeowners. That's separate from everything else that we have in terms of renewals. So we're seeing significant growth, seeing it both from Allstate as well as voluntary agents. And I think people really, I would almost say there's a stampede to us in the sense that we're a quality carrier that does a great job. I think we do a good job in terms of our rate rules and forms to be competitive in the marketplace. I think we do a great job for our policyholders, both on the underwriting and the claims side. And I think that the agents trust us and value our partnership. And I think that you're going to see significant growth continue through 2013 and thereafter. So I don't see that the volume slowing down for us.
Okay, well, that sounds great, and that's all for me. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for the questions.
Our next question is from Lee Matheson of Broadview Capital. Your question, please.
Hi, Lee.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great.
You guys don't sound so effervescent anymore. What happened?
Things are going well, Lee.
Yeah, that's it. You guys get excited about the turnaround, and then when it comes, you're not so excited anymore.
Well, things are going well. We continue to remain disciplined. We're going to do the same blocking and tackling that we do day in, day out. You know, we have great agents, great staff, and we're going to keep doing what we do.
Good. Well, a couple of quick things. Just on the loss in LAE, anything from CAT or prior period in there?
Pete, do you have any more detail on for the quarter for loss in LAE?
Are you talking about the in terms of dollars or in terms of the percentage?
Either. Yeah, dollars would be great.
Well, dollars are up slightly because, one, obviously more earned premium this quarter versus last quarter, first quarter 12, that's one. And two, it's hard to look at it on a quarter over prior year quarter basis because the incidence of claims, you know, one quarter is high, one quarter is low. But if you look at it on a kind of yearly trend, it's pretty much flat. If you look at it over a 12-month period instead of a three-month, it's pretty flat. So I think you're just seeing one, our earns up, so the dollar figure's up slightly. And then, you know, we had a couple of, fires in the first quarter, but nothing catastrophic.
Okay, so no CAT losses and nothing prior period?
No.
Okay. So in terms of statutory capital, where were you at the end of the quarter?
We wound up at $55 million statutory surplus at year-end. If we sound different on the phone, Pete and I are in different locations. We do what's called town halls with our agents. So I'm up in the Panhandle with about 60 agents where we continuously train and develop our agents and make sure we have good relationships with them. So that's why we might sound a little different. I'm in a different location. But statutory capital is $55 million. You're seeing that continue to grow, and we have the ability to write conservatively, I would say, 5-1, perhaps 6-1. So we have plenty of capital to continue to grow out our book of business.
Yeah, so basically at this, I mean, just kind of modeling it forward, at this growth rate, now that you're profitable, like you could write this number of new policies for the foreseeable future, and you wouldn't actually be really raising your premiums to capital ratio too much.
Yeah, we think we have plenty of dry powder. But we'll also say that Pete and I continue to talk to people about opportunities for additional capital if it's needed in the company. We want to be very selective in how we do it so that it's as creative as possible for our agent. I'm sorry, for our shareholders. So we've looked at different things, and we're receptive to that as well. But absolutely, right now we have plenty of capital to continue running the business that we're doing.
Okay, and my my other favorite topic is Citizens depopulation transactions.
Yeah.
You know, I think you on the last call you mentioned that you thought there might be some changes to the way that those are structured that might make them more attractive.
Yeah.
Any comment on that?
Well, the legislative session just ended, and fortunately there wasn't anything too crazy that happened. But basically what they've come out with is something called a clearinghouse, and this has been passed. It still has to be signed by the governor. But what this clearinghouse means is any policy that goes into Citizens will have to go into the clearinghouse for about 48 hours, which is 2 days, and we and any other voluntary market can look at it. And if we decide to take it and we're within 15% of Citizens' rate, the policyholder will have to come with us. So that's something that's new. This will start effective January 1. Now, really what that does is that opens up some captive markets, the two big ones, really State Farm and Farm Bureau, that haven't allowed companies voluntary business to be written in their agencies. So I think that's a great opportunity. I think you're going to see the growth of Citizens slow. Now, in addition to that, Citizens also will have this clearinghouse effect for renewal business. Now, the renewal business will have to be at or the same price. And once again, this opens up a lot of business. So I think these big depops at the end of the hurricane season, they work from an accounting perspective. They're very short-term profitable, but I think what you're going to see is you're going to see less growth, less people doing these big depops, and more hopefully good underwriting taking policies one at a time that makes sense from day one. And so we're receptive to that. I would not call it a depop. We're absolutely receptive to this clearinghouse that's going to be established January 1, where we'll be able to get even more business that comes in the front door. Now, when I say it comes in, one at a time, we're going to underwrite it the correct way.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I guess so. I mean, our math on these is this: you know, Citizens did the 300,000 at the end of the hurricane season last year, but they wrote 80,000 new policies in the quarter. So, you know, they're just on a treadmill. So, I guess at what point does the state say, "Look, we're really not de-risking Citizens if we just keep handing over policies through DPOP and then they come back to us"?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when they do get DPOP, they tend to go back to Citizens at some point. But I'll tell you, as I told you, I'm doing a town hall. True statement made by an agent today is, we try to put as much as we can with you, but you guys are so selective. Really, you are my declination carrier. And what that means is they use our rejection to get into Citizens. So
we're
seeing everything. And what we're not interested in, either we don't want the risk or our rate is not competitive, it goes right into Citizens. So I keep coming back to the statement, if we've already passed on it and it's going down the stream, why do we want to go chase it again? I do believe most agents are very comfortable with us. We get a good look at it. And now the last piece of the puzzle, the two big outfits, which is State Farm and Farm Bureau, now we'll even be able to look at those policies. So things are going very well. Our plan's working.
Good.
I'm not a fan of these big depots. I don't believe they work.
Yeah, no, that's. Oh, I guess the other way to look at it is if they work as well as some people think they work, how is it not simply a transfer of wealth from the citizens of the state of Florida to a private enterprise?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I would exactly say that it's a transfer of surplus short term, and. Because you're getting those policies without the reinsurance cost.
Yeah.
And so really, you have a 50% margin the first two quarters after you do the depops. If you do a December depop, you have no acquisition or reinsurance, which is, let's just say for easy math, 50%. So theoretically, you're operating at a 50% margin of profitability for the next two quarters. I mean, they're very attractive short-term, but I believe I don't believe that's a sustainable business practice, and that's why we're not interested in it.
Yeah, good. Okay, and in terms of reinsurance, there's some commentary in the K around the hurricane catastrophe fund potentially raising rates, and we're hearing the opposite in the private market. Can you kind of comment on how that nets out to you?
Yeah, in terms of the FHCF, they're wanting to restrict it. They're trying to shrink it, and I can tell you the FHCF is a great cost-effective reinsurance mechanism. So they did not change it. It's not shrinking. In terms of private, where we spend a majority of our money, the world is flush with cash, and they're chasing yield, and a lot of that money is winding up in Bermuda. So what does that mean? That means we buy a lot of our reinsurance from Bermuda. I'm confident that we're going to do very well in our program. Rates are you can speculate that they may go down, maybe in the private sector, maybe down 10 to 15% on reinsurance.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say a third of our cost at 15. So theoretically, we might have 5% relief in our expenses, theoretically. Now, there's a lot of moving pieces to that, and nothing's been negotiated or done. We're in the process of getting reinsurance. There's a lot of pressure of this capital in Bermuda pushing rates down. I think some of the new capital in Bermuda can actually is helping some of the new companies because more than it will help us. I think it will keep our partners, keep their pencils sharp so we get good rates. But we've got very good partners. After writing property for as long as we have, capital comes and goes, and you want good partners. So we're going to do what we can to make sure we keep all of our partners on our program. But clearly there's new capital there that's pressing the market down. So I think we're going to benefit from that.
Yeah, okay. So do you think you could be below the sort of 43 number you were
at
last
year? As a percentage of premium?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to be in the low 40s. There's some volatility there, obviously, but I think reinsurance spend as a percentage of earned premium over the next 12 months, we're going to be in the low 40s. We don't know where we're going to be until we're completed the program and we see, how our premiums go. I think I said on the last call we were looking at buying about $300 million of cat cover.
Yep.
Now we're looking at buying about $350 million of cat cover. So in a short amount of time, I've really raised the expectation of where we're at, and we're very careful to buy the reinsurance that we need and that we can afford. So we're buying more cat cover than we anticipated because because everything's trending so favorably.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And the
key is not what the total spend is, but as you're inferring, it's a percentage of premium that you're spending on reinsurance.
Yeah. Loss ratio on homeowners in the quarter was 46. Is that a decent? Are you content with that number?
Do you have any more color on that, Pete?
Yeah, Lee, very content. I mean, we look at our loss ratios 4 times a year on a quarterly basis, and we looked at all the data and see how things are trending. If you compare the 46, you'll see that the 46 is a little higher than last year first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you why, it's because the Q1 2012 estimate loss ratio was about 44, and it rose to about 50 at the end of the year 2012. So our first quarter 2013 estimation is more in line with how we closed the year, actually a little under how we closed the year by three points. So, yes, we're very comfortable with the 46, and that's a good number.
Yeah, okay. So at that level, you guys think you can kind of comfortably write combined in the mid-90s?
Oh, I think
Mike, go ahead.
I think mid-90s are pretty reasonable.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of moving pieces, but, last year on a stat perspective, we ran at about a 93 total combined. I think things are trending favorably. You never know until you get through it, but things are trending favorably.
Good, and we're getting the reduction in operating costs as a percentage of earned premium.
Yeah,
starting to kick in.
Yeah, our business is scalable. As we continue to write more business, our fixed costs get allocated over that much more premium. So we absolutely have in our culture to be cost effective with our shareholders' money. So absolutely.
Good. All right. Well, thanks, guys, and congratulations on turning the corner.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Samir Kari of Capital Returns Management. Your question, please.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Great quarter.
Hi, Samir.
Good, thanks. I just have a quick question about the loss ratio again. It went up a bit. And did you guys say earlier that was because of some one-off few fire losses in the quarter?
Well, Samir, which law? Are you talking about the total dollars? You're talking about the percentage?
No, percentage, loss ratio.
Well, if you're talking about homeowners specifically,
homeowners.
You look, it went up about 4 points from 3/31/2012. It actually might have ticked down a couple of points for year end. Now I'm looking at overall. It went from about 50.9 at the end of 2012 to 49.6. So where we were reserving, the percentage we were reserving beginning first quarter of 2012, as the year progressed, we reevaluated our loss ratios, and at the end of the year, they wound up somewhere around 50%, 51%, all lines combined. And if you look at where we are today, or where we closed first quarter 13, we finished at 49.6. So our loss ratio today kind of reflects where we were at the end of the year. So it's hard when you're comparing it to first quarter of 2012, just because we had more history, more experience, and we adjust the loss ratios as we go. We look at them, like I said, like I mentioned to Lee, we look at them 4 times a year. So yeah, there was some fire losses. If you're going to compare quarter over quarter, there was some fire losses. But if you look on a percentage basis, as a percentage of premium, there was probably $600,000-$700,000 of extra fire losses in the first quarter that we didn't have last year, or large losses, as we call them, but not catastrophe losses. But again, like I said, the percentage is more in line with where we finished the year.
Okay, so then there's more IBNR in the 2013 number, it seems like. Is that a fair statement?
I would say that we are reserving at a slightly higher percentage than we were last year at this time, yes.
Okay. Second question is on growth. You guys cited the $3.5 million in a week. Is that a good run rate to use going forward, or is that kind of what was that an anomaly?
No, Samir, I can tell you, things have been trending favorably for quite a while, where we used to write $1 million and then we went to $2 million. Clearly, since we've turned on Allstate, volume has increased. We've had to add more underwriters and more adjusters. I have no reason to believe that flow of premium will slow down. We've kind of got up to that level of $3.5 million, and I think we're going to hit probably close to that again this week. So I have no reason to believe that it's going to change. I think that we're doing a very good job with the business that's coming in. But I don't want to mislead you and tell you that we have some goal that we have to hit $3.5 million a week. That's not the case at all.
Right.
We're writing quality business, and if it comes in at $3 million a week or $4 million a week or even $1 million a week or $5 million a week, we're going to write quality business with the same underwriting criteria and the same risk management analysis on everything.
Okay. And how many claims adjusters and underwriters have you hired?
You know, we've grown significantly. We've probably got, I'm going to say, let's say 23 personal lines underwriters and about 7 commercial line, that's ballpark, so about 30. Total staff's about 125. In-house adjusters, I'm going to say there's maybe 10 to 12. And field adjusters, I think we've got about 8. So we've got quite a team of people to handle the volume. The management team's is clearly in place and experienced, and we see no reason to expand or develop more levels to the management team. All we're doing is adding increments of adjusters and underwriters to handle the business.
Right. And are you guys finding it easy to find talent in a competitive market?
Yeah. You know, I think we have a statement. You know, you can either have good home HR skills on the way in or on the way out. So we really make sure that we hire good people, and we have a lot of good people that are long term with the company. A lot of people have been with us 20 plus years. Also, a lot of the new hires I think are very quality. We tend to hire them from some local companies. It's always good to get agents in house as underwriters, and a lot of our underwriters have moved over to claims as adjusters. I think we're very happy with the quality of people that we have.
Okay, great. And Mike, you alluded to it before that you might be looking in certain circumstances to raise equity. What kind of scenarios would you conceive raising equity?
Well, basically, Samir, we're getting equity knocking at our door. We're getting debt knocking at our door. Things like that. And we don't need capital as we sit here today. We're fine. The last thing we want to do is dilute our shareholders. However, we clearly have a platform that works well, and it's clearly running much faster than it has a year prior. And you can see that at some point, if it continues to grow, we could use more capital above and beyond what we're generating from an underwriting profit. And we see those numbers, and we're receptive to that. So we're exploring different avenues of capital. We haven't committed to it, but we're exploring it. And if we can find if we believe the business will support additional capital, then we'll bring additional capital into the company.
Great, thank you.
There's no one form that we're specifically committed to, or that we're specifically going to go through with it as well. We're continuing to research it.
Great. Congrats, guys.
But I don't think it's a big challenge to raise capital in this environment. It's important to raise capital and deploy it in an efficient manner is really what our goal is.
Okay.
Our next question is from Doug Ruth of Lennox Financial Services. Your question, please.
I want to offer my congratulations, Mike. That was just a fabulous report.
Thank you, Doug. I think that we've got one heck of a team, and Pete and I get to hear the good news out here with our investors. But really, there's a whole team of 125 people behind us. So we're committed to the same things that we do every day: good underwriting, good claims, good marketing, good risk management. So thank you.
You're welcome. Could you, one of the things that you did last time is you gave us an idea as far as where the policy count was almost on the day of the conference call. So you've given us the policy count here.
Sure.
Do we have a updated number? We had the 67,000 number.
Yeah. I can tell you bound today we're going to cross 80,000.
Oh, wow.
Homeowners alone.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so that's going to happen sometime today. I anticipated it in the middle of the afternoon. I haven't looked since this morning, so we may already be there. But there's always a lag of about 45 to 60 days from bound to in force, and there's a couple different things. But basically just there's an underwriting process as well as effective dates.
Okay. Could you offer a little more color about the relationship with Allstate? And it seems like it might be expanding from what you're saying.
Well, I think we have a very healthy relationship with them. They have quite a few agents, and clearly the business is coming in. There's volume. A lot of these, we were very successful in getting the appointment with Allstate, and we're one of few carriers that have that relationship. And the volume's coming in. There's no doubt about it. And I think some of that support that we got came from the agents that helped us to get that appointment process completed with Allstate, the corporation. So the business is clearly picking up. I can tell you the quote volume from the Allstate agents is coming in. And we rolled that out rather slow. It took us, I'm going to say, almost 90 days to get all the agents appointed. And for the most part, of the 720 agents that they have in Florida, I'm going to put the number at around 500 that have been appointed. And not every agent's going to take the appointment, which is fine, but there's certain parts of the state where they're less in need of the appointment, where there's they have other opportunities. But I think that the majority of the agents, if not all, that are interested in getting appointed with us from Allstate have been appointed, and they're clearly quoting the product. And there's always a lag from when an agent gets a new appointment to when they start bringing the business, because when you quote a policy, people don't always commit that same day. They may be buying a house in the next 6 to 8 weeks before they close, or their renewal that they're shopping may not be for another, let's call it 6 to 8 weeks. Most renewal offers in Florida go out at around 50 days prior to the renewal. So I think the volume's picked up significantly, and I have no reason to believe that it's going to change.
Okay, now why are the Allstate agents, why are they using Federated versus using Allstate?
Well, Allstate does not really write that much property in the state of Florida. Allstate has a subsidiary in Florida. It's called Castle Key. And they do have property in there. They clearly do. But Allstate, I think they're, I can't speak for them, but I think their focus is more auto-related. But I think that that because they're willing to broker it out, we're clearly, they're very comfortable with us, and I think we have a very good relationship with them. So we're going to do everything that we told them that we would. And like I said, the agents are comfortable with us, and that's why they're writing the business, that we're competitive, and so it's working well.
That sounds really good. Could you offer some more commentary? You talked about your four pillars and how you're, during the rapid growth, you're staying true to those four pillars.
Well, the one thing, as I said to the previous caller, you know, Doug, is that we there's no magic that we're chasing. There's no certain policies that we have to get. That's not the case at all. What we do is we're very much committed to doing what's right, and that's good underwriting on a day in, day out basis. So you know, I don't want to say that we're chasing premium. We're not chasing premium. We're chasing bottom line earnings, and that's critical to what we do, and that's just having good people there for us to do it.
Yes, well, we're all for that. Has there been any further discussion now? You know, we are working with a lot of older people that really could use dividends. With this strong quarter, is there any further thought about maybe raising the dividend again?
Well, that's something the board that we discuss and vote on every quarter. Clearly, as the company continues to grow and throw off more earnings, clearly it becomes more possible to raise a dividend. And that's something that we will discuss what to do, whether we, you know, continue the dividend as is, or raise it, whatever we may do. So, I think there's a compelling case to keep it at least where we're at, if not grow it. So I'll put it that way. You know, but that's really a decision for the board, and we know that our shareholders find that dividend to be very rewarding, and that's part of how they view us as a company is to bring that cash back to the shareholders. So we know that, and we want to be as shareholder-friendly as we can be and as dividend-friendly as we can be. So we're a little bit conservative in that regard, but I think that it's very compelling where we're at that we could afford a higher dividend. I'm not saying we're going to be issuing a higher dividend, but it's clearly the math supports the dividend.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering my questions, and congratulations again on a great quarter.
Thank you, Doug.
Our next question from David Spire of Nitor Capital. Your question, please.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, David. How are you today?
Just wondering, you know, is there more of a normalized, you know, ROE that we can expect on a go-forward basis now that you guys have kind of stabilized the business?
Yeah, we don't have a specific number that we can say that we're going to be hitting, but clearly I think the business is much more stabilized.
But it seems like more of a double-digit ROE as compared to the past. That seems more realistic right now.
Well, I think that will be much more consistent with insurance companies in the industry. You know, you may be looking for a specific number that we can't commit to.
And not really specific, more just as back to a normalized period, you know, compared to your peers or other insurance businesses in the industry.
I think that our business is stable. I think it's solid, and I think there's you can never be complacent because things can always occur that change the dynamics of where we're at. But I think we're absolutely – where we got into trouble back 3 years ago, that was because there was a dramatic change in our rates that we were charging to the insureds, the mitigation credits. That was a huge game changer for us. But where we're at right now, our business is absolutely far more stable.
Mike, David, just to add color to what Mike said, in the first quarter our ROE was 3.5%. So.
Got it. So, but if you annualize that, I was talking about more, it's, you know, substantially higher. And then, you know, it's pretty, you know, clear, I guess, especially this quarter, that you guys have created some substantial leverage. As, you know, you mentioned with the previous caller, that you guys have a pretty good control of OPEX and SG&A. And at the same time, you're growing premiums. So should we expect, you know, more margin expansion going forward that will lead to, you know, further earnings growth?
Well, I think that you're going to see us continuing to grow in Florida. Absolutely. There's opportunities for us in other states as well. We're looking at property in a couple other states as well. Perhaps we're, you know, Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, there's opportunities there. We write our GL not only in Florida, but Texas, we're ramping it up a bit more, and we see some opportunities in Louisiana and Georgia. We started writing personal auto, more of that over in Texas as well. But honestly, the biggest part of our business is Florida homeowners by far. I think you're – once again, we have a quality product at a competitive price. The agents are very comfortable with us. The business is coming in. We're very disciplined in what we're doing. and we're handling the policies and paying claims fairly and timely. I think we're doing what we need to do, and that only brings more good business to you. So,
all right, great. And then, you know, the last question is more of, you know, at this point, I guess the one concern we would have as an investor would be the potential repeat, you know, of a significant LAE deficiency that occurred, you know, from 2004 to 2009. I guess maybe, you know, to kind of squash that and answer that concern, how would you say, you know, your policy standards are different, more or less?
Sure.
Is there a percentage of, you know, new home builds or, you know, average age of homes, et cetera, that could give us, you know, further confidence that that's not really, that that's not going to occur again?
Yeah, well, you know, something very huge happened in 2004 and 2005. We had significant development. And what happened is over the last 20-some years of business, we paid out over $900 million in claims. Of that, over $375 million were a result of the storms of 04 and 05. And those storms that came in were very challenging from a financial perspective and an operational perspective. And everyone in the industry had development, including the FHCF. We all buy cover from the FHCF, and they had, I believe, in excess of $2 billion of development. And we didn't move that needle, I can tell you that, in terms of $2 billion. So I understand that, but we absolutely have not had a cat since. We have control of our book. We have not had a cat since October 24th of 2005. That was Wilma. Obviously, the storms of 04 and 05, you know, that's far in the rearview mirror. We know our business on a day-to-day basis, our non-cat, or what we call AOP. We feel we have adequate reserves on it. If a storm comes in, we reserve accordingly for it. Last year, we bought $233 million of cover. We model storms in that. All the prior storms that hit Florida, there's eight that hit in 04 and 05, as well as Andrew, which we were not writing property when Andrew happened. Those nine storms, none of those storms surpassed $100 million. So we feel that our CAT program is sound.
Yeah, more or less the real question I was asking was, you know, the confidence in your currently stated, you know, LAE. That was really the question.
Well, what drove that was the storms. We
yeah.
had eight storms in a matter of really 15 months. It was a very challenging environment to operate in. If we get eight storms this summer, sure, we're going to have some operational challenges, but I think clearly what is
but,
the problem?
But at the same time, your policies are much stronger in terms of you're not really as, you know, in the Tri-County area. But
our distribution of Tri-County back in 2004-05 was very high. Right now we have, I believe it's 18.5% Tri-County. We're in 66 of the 67 counties. Haven't been able to penetrate Lafayette County yet. Hopefully soon, but not many people live there. We're all over the state, so clearly we have a very well diversified book of business. We favor new construction. It performs much better from a non-cat perspective, AOP, and it also performs much better because it has better mitigation features when it comes to storms. So yeah, we have a quality book of business. Absolutely.
Got it. So overall, your book has obviously mitigated risk substantially since then.
Oh, you know, I think we're light years ahead and where we were in 04 and 05. And I'll tell you, going into 04, a lot of what we learned in 04 and 05 of going through such a challenging environment, we still have in our culture today of redundancy from IT to systems to making sure that we have an emergency plan in case a storm hits not only our policyholders but our central office. We've been through it. We had no power for a week when Wilma hit. We know how to handle that. So now look how much technology's changed in 8 years. It gets a lot easier now. So operationally and financially, I think we're set for a storm. There's always a statistical anomaly that could challenge that statement, but by and far, we're doing everything we need to do to run our business.
All right, great. And the last thing I'll mention is that it seems as if operationally you're running, you know, at or if not better than your peers. And the current stock price right now is about 0.95 a book. Your
yep.
peers on average around 1.8 to 2 times book. So, you know, we're looking forward especially to that valuation, you know, gap
yep.
narrowing, you know, in the near future.
And well, we hope our shareholders are rewarded with the performance that we do. And I can tell you, not only do we do a good job with our people and our policyholders, anyone's welcome to come by our South Florida offices and see that it's very non-opulent. It's we're there for business. We're there to get things done and contain costs and how we do it.
All right. I appreciate it. Great work, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, David.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone telephone. Our next question is a follow-up from Lee Matheson of Broadview Capital. Your question, sir.
Hey, guys, just wanted to clarify. Did you mention you have 80,000 homeowners policies as of
correct.
Today?
Well, the difference between what you saw in the press release is at quarter end in force.
Yep.
As we sit here today, we're going to cross 80,000 bound. So the difference is the 13,000 is that's good. That goes from bound. So an agent today, they bound, I'm going to estimate we wrote 325 policies today. So sometime mid-afternoon is when we would have crossed that threshold. So now not all that business will result into bound policies, but substantially the majority of it will. Let's say 85% of what's coming in will actually clear underwriting and be a full bound policy. I'm sorry,
and
full active policy.
And this is, I mean, this is what, we're not even 6 weeks into the quarter.
Correct. We're
wow.
Yes.
Okay.
On a business day, we're Monday through Friday, we're writing over, let's say, 325 policies a day, ballpark. It varies from day to day, but yeah, the book of business is growing.
Okay, wow. So you guys really are stepping on the gas here.
I don't want to say we're stepping on the gas. We're disciplined what we're doing. We're staying disciplined to what we're doing. However, the business is picking up. Absolutely.
Good. Okay. And anything on any new capital coming into the industry? I mean, I guess there are a few guys coming in to do takeouts. Was there any?
There's one new competitor that was formed in the last 6 months. I'm sorry. Two competitors that were formed. You know, new capital can come in. I think the minimum threshold that you need to enter the market is $25 million, basically. And there's room in the marketplace for people, but clearly what you see is there's a lot of existing players, and I think that you're going to see a continued divergent split, let me say it, between the better operators and operators that are struggling, and I clearly think we're one of the best operators out there. I absolutely stand by that statement. We're one of the best operators, period, in Florida.
Good. Okay, thanks again, guys, and congrats.
Thank you.
And at this time, I'm showing no further questions from the audience.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for taking the time to dial in, to listen. Those that ask the questions really appreciate it. We're going to continue doing what we said we're doing on the call, and we look forward to reporting the next quarter. And in the meantime, if anyone has questions, Pete and I are always available. So thank you very much to everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may now disconnect. Good day.